Welcome back, guys. Ludini Rock and Roll Circus Musicians Mastermind. And we are going to be talking about the dirty little secret that is email. I mean, in today's world of, SMS and social media, email kind of gets forgotten about. And a lot of people have said, well, email's dead. Today, we're going to explain to you how to make the most out of email. Email's not dead. You just got to put certain things in place and you got to do things in a certain way to get it to work for you. So with that said, we have Carrie JK and we have Joe Freeman. It is Carrie's birthday today. So, this is how we're celebrating. Talking about email. Wow. Exciting stuff. So Joe, I think that you have, who wants to start?
Well, I'm gonna defer to you guys quite a lot on this.
Okay.
And I'll add in as I can.
Joe, I think you have some ideas on this.
Yeah. All right. So first off, email isn't dead. Email is one of the primary channels that you follow up with your customers. So whether or not you get those people in a funnel and you offered them something and you got their email that way, or however you got their email.
At a gig, you could have got it at a show,
wherever you're doing it. Yeah. You definitely want to follow up because most people, when you first see them, they're going to forget. It takes, 12 to 14 touches these days, and touches are just different, ways in which you outreach to them to get someone to take an action. And that action could be to download your CD. It could be a lot of different things. So whatever you offer is, and it doesn't always have to be the first thing that collects money. A lot of times it can be your free thing to get them into your world, to get them into your ecosystem. Then that's the thing that you want them to do. That's your call to action. And then email can be one of those touches. The SMS text, there's a lot of different ways that you can reach out to someone. But for today, we're going to talk about email. A lot of people have a hard time with email because, they'll write an email once every couple weeks and they stress over it. It takes them a lot of time to write it. They're not sure what to say in their email. And, normally when I'm writing an email, I just try to take whatever the next thing what I'm trying to talk to them about. A lot of times I'm dealing with funnels and automation, so there's normally something that happens next. So if they came from an ad into a landing page, I usually have to deliver whatever I promised them in the landing page. And then from there, on the thank you page, I'm usually exposing them to something or asking them to take another action, which is another offer. And sometimes that can be, to download a CD. It can be to see me at an event. It can be to talk to me on a phone call. It can be a lot of different things depending on your business, what assets you currently have available to you to create a funnel with your current assets and have it be the least possible friction. So have it be in a way that you can get something out there now so people can get exposed to you. So normally, I'll take whatever my call to action is for the email because I'm always thinking hook, story, offer. So if I'm writing an email, normally there's some action at the end of the offer, at the end of the email that I want them to take, not always. And then there's some kind of story or something I'm telling, and then there's a hook. And so a lot of times on email, it doesn't have to be really, really long. Some of them do get long. Most of them can be pretty short. And then I write out the email according to the action taken. Now, once they're on my follow-up list, and all the follow-up list is they've already done something. They've already went in, given you your email in some way, and now I'm just sending them emails to remind them that I still exist, let them know new things I'm doing, let them know things that's going on in my ecosystem, and sometimes it could be just like I see something in the news or something that's related to my business. So one of the good ways to get email topics is to follow other people who are doing the same thing as you. So let's say that Lou runs a music podcast. Okay. So, and it's rock and roll. So the easiest way for Lou to come up with ideas of things to write would be to follow other rock and roll music podcasters, create a fake email. So when I say fake, it's not really fake. It's real, but it's not one that you use to give to like people that, you know, you want to follow up with on a regular basis. It's an email that you create. And then whenever you go on to another rock and roll podcaster's podcast, they offer something, you get on their list, you use this email. So it could be a Gmail, a Yahoo, whatever. And then you just, every time you see something that's a rock and roll podcaster, you have that email created, and then you put in that email into their capture, their email
capture. Okay. Carlos Castillo, Carrie, you know Carlos, right? Yeah. Okay. He has something that he calls the content garden, and I'm gonna kind of piggyback off of what you're saying, Joe. And this is something very similar. And what he does is he tells you to create a separate Gmail account, one that you're not gonna use for anything else, because if you use your regular Gmail account, your thing will get filled up really quick with a bunch of stuff, and it'll be hard to keep track of. So you create a separate Gmail account. And you do exactly what Joe just said. You sign up for offers, you sign up for other people's lists, you see what content they're doing, and you can get inspired that way. The other thing that that you can do with this additional Gmail account is to pick search terms for me, it's a lot of like different bands that are happening, you know. So I would put in things like Ozzy, because Ozzy's hot in the news with his health and everything. Aerosmith, that's like hot in the news. Everybody's, you know, and different things like that. It can be everything. It can be anything like that. You know, blues, rock, heavy metal, whatever your niche is, and you create Google alerts for those things. And Google will every day will send you, anytime somebody posts something on the internet about that topic, you'll get, now you will get some bullshit, some stuff that doesn't quite work, but because you've put this into a separate Gmail account and not your regular email, it's a lot easier to manage. You can quickly delete things. There's paid services that will do this for you. Don't sign up for any of those, because you can do all this totally free. And it's like, there's just, the services are already out there between, you know, doing just what Joe said and doing, you know, just using Google alerts. So you'll get alerts about, you know, different blog posts about it, YouTube videos about it. And what it also allows you to do is to refer and to credit those other bloggers or YouTubers or whatever. So you start to build a network, because, you know, I talk about something that, you know, Rob Chapman talked about on his podcast. And you see a lot of YouTubers doing this. I'm referring to XYZ's YouTube. So I'll put a link so you can go watch their video too. Well, people love that, because we're all in the same space, and we're moving each other's, we're sharing, each other's audiences. We know that. Why make a big secret of it? So it's a great way to kind of build your network. So instead of, you know, so yes, get their stuff. Yes, look at it. But if you use it in some way, so you send out an email and you talk about, you give your own spin on it, say, if you want to read the whole story, here's XYZ's blog where I read about this or whatever. So they love that, and you love that, and it makes it better for the audience too. It gives them even more, cause it's like a value add for them as well. Just wanted to add that.
Yeah. So I think the biggest point to take from that is do your research and have a constant influx of ideas, but also keep it conversational and realize that, once again, you're trying to give value to your audience, right? So you want to make sure that you stop talking about your list as a list and talk about them as people, as a conversation. And if you're writing your emails as conversations about what you know they would like, because most of the time when you become a coach, a consultant, a musician, you're you're your audience. So you like the thing that you're promoting. You like the thing that you're creating. You, for some reason, had a desire to be part of that. So for musicians, most musicians love music and they listen to other musicians. They don't just sit in a vacuum and create music on their own. You know what I mean?
Although some would like you to believe that they do, but yes.
So,
I'm totally original, Carrie. Nobody sounds anything like me.
Yeah, I hear that a lot.
So
yeah, it's a topic for another day. Never say that in your promos, because whoever hears it will immediately be listening out for your dominant influence.
Yeah, and you'll get shit for it. Joe, what'd you say, buddy? I'm sorry.
It's all right. Now, I guess they kind of would, right? So if you heard music and someone said, well, nobody influences me, you weren't born in a vacuum. Your environment creates your life. So Right. They're going to look for whatever that argument is. But sometimes creating an argument in itself can be good publicity. So you may want them to look for who influenced you and turn it into a conversation.
Mm. Who do you I sound mean? Like?
Yeah. Well, nobody really influences me. And then next couple emails, or do they? You know what I mean?
I want to get into this. You said something so good that I want to make sure we really expound on, and that is create a conversation. So what I have found with my most effective emails that I have sent out over the years is that people will reply, even though it's an autoresponder, and maybe at the back of their mind they know that it's an autoresponder, they will reply as if I sent them an actual email. I've had that happen, and that is like that's like a great thing, because that shows that like people are like you're not just like reaching them as promotion. They're actually like engaged with the topic. Mm-hmm. So this is like a great opportunity.
Yeah.
So when that happens, Joe, like I've always replied as if they, you know, we were just, you know, yeah, I sent you that email, we just talked. You know, hey, that's a great idea, or, you know, I appreciate that, you know, cool comment, I never thought about it that way, or whatever the exchange was. So how do you navigate, how would you suggest we navigate that, Joe? Is that an opportunity? Should we restate our offer at some point, or or should we just kind of listen to see if that's even appropriate, or how do we handle that? What's your thoughts on that?
Just make it your signature of your email. So if most of the time you have something that you're offering, you have a funnel of some sort, or at least you should, for whatever your main thing is, or your starter thing to get them involved, depending on, you know what I mean, what you're doing currently. So all you need to do is at the end of the email, either in the PS or in a signature, which I suggest you do it in a signature, and it's just your normal thing, is to say, hey, or just have your name, you know, what you do and what your current funnel offer is. And then that way, if they want to go there, they can, but it's non-committal, because they're like, okay, that's just how he signs his emails. He's still talking to me personally. You know what I mean? So I had some bullet points for conversational copywriting here. I wanted to go over real quick, and then we can bounce around on that if you guys would like.
Sure.
So one of the things I have is stop talking about your list as a list. Remember, they're people. Use your name in the from address. So, you know, when it's from, it should have your name there. That way they know it's coming from you, because most of the time you have a personality business. They've come into the business knowing that it's your face. It's you they're talking to. Be trustworthy. So if you're going to put an offer out there, follow through. Always present your character and yourself as what you would want them to see you as. Be on their side all the time. Like, if you know what I mean, just like in your emails and everything, make sure they believe that, and you are, so be on their side in the conversation. Keep it short. A lot of people don't like to read really, really long emails. Mm-hmm. If the email starts to get really long, like if I sent out an email about whatever the topic for this podcast is, so, you know, how to write emails, I wouldn't like list all this stuff out in the email itself. I would give them a link to a video. Hey, here's, you know, here's my email with like 7 lines of copy. And then here's a link to the video. If you want to learn more, go over here and check it out.
You could do that and then present your offer in your video or on that page. You know, yeah, like a deeper offer, like an offer that gets them. This is a great idea, is to tease them with some basic ideas. And if they want to know more, they can click the link and then you can create, you can in that page or video or whatever, you can do your like paid offer or, you know, something a little deeper or something new that you're, you know, putting out there. The other thing you can do is if you do have a topic you want to spread that's long, you could create a 3-part series or something like that. And that might get them to like want to look at that next email because they read part one and they want to know what's going to happen in part two well. So it might be, you know, that's another way of doing it. I do like the idea of going, sending them outside the email thing to you know, some kind of page.
Yeah, a lot of people say that about creating multiple series. And sometimes that just personally drives me insane.
Okay.
I hate trying to keep up with like a 3-part series and missing an email and then having to go back. Okay. You know what I mean? But then again, if it means enough to me, I'll research it in my inbox and find all 6 and just wait until I know that, okay, there's 3 or 4 in there. And then I'll log in and I'll find that person and then read all those emails at once.
I think there's a psychological thing there anyway. Let's say that I'm trying to think of an example. If it's something that's got, say, 6 paragraphs in there, or sort of 6 key details, you could like do the whole thing on a sort of 3,000-word essay, and people would love to have that resource and to read it. But the chances are that when the minute that email arrives, they're not going to be ready to read 3,000 words. They'll file it away with all the intention in the world of reading that thing later. And then later on, something else happens. Then they end up at the bar a bit later. They still haven't read it. It's procrastination. So where is that? So now if that 3,000-word essay had gone into 600-word episode, you're going to read in the time it takes you to drink your cup of coffee, then that's going to get read there and then. And then it's same bat time, same bat channel. You'll get the next bit tomorrow. That feels a lot like it feels less of an undertaking then. It's just like something that's going. So I would prefer the sort of the serial of shorts to the feature length.
Well, like I was saying, so a lot of those serial of shorts, maybe on those serial of shorts, you could give the short. And then even though you're breaking down those, the whole topic, like you said, 6 paragraphs. So maybe you're breaking down the 6 paragraphs into 6 separate emails.
Yeah. But
then you're providing a link at the end. If you're not like promoting something, you don't want 2 call to actions, obviously. But if you're not promoting something and you're opening a conversation, teaching, or you know, something like that, then you could on all 6 of those emails put the link to a blog post, put the link to a YouTube video. Ooh, ooh. And one of the things Lou said that I want to, and then I'll pass it over to you, Lou. I know, I see you. Is that just like at the end of an email where there's a signature? And there's you can put links to your videos at the end of your YouTube or your blog post or so forth. There is an end where you can put a signature, which really isn't a signature, but where you can put the links to your funnels or to your whatever your promotion is or whatever your call to action is on those videos as well. And at the end of your blog post. So I would always be at the end adding those resources. All right, pass it over to you, Lou.
A couple of things. A way to a compromise between what Carrie is talking about with the serial shorts and Joe is talking about with, you know, have a link to send them to something where they can read or hear or watch the full topic is to do both. I am putting out, 5-part series this month. You know, you're going to be getting email each week where I'm going to discuss Ozzy's new tour. I'm just putting that out. I've just made that up. Okay. And, you know, each you can. However, if you are the kind of person who's impatient, you can click this link right here, right now, and listen to my complete podcast on it right now. You don't have to wait. But if you're, you know, you're just happening watching this, or you know, you prefer to do this, I will be covering this each week for the next 4 weeks or whatever. I think that that is a kind of way to do both. Second of all, and then you can put your offer anywhere. You can put your offer on that page. You can put your offer in the email. The only problem with having them to do two things in an email, that's the thing that question about the whole if you're sending them outside the email to finish the story or to read the whole thing, and you also put your offer in there. Now, I mean, if you're just doing the offer as a PS or as your signature, then they're used to seeing that all the time. So maybe what you do is if you are sending them out, you just put that offer on that page as well. What do you guys think about that? Because I know, like, it's been drilled into my head, Joe, because working with Becky for all these years is like one offer. You want them to do one thing, you know? So what are your sort of thoughts on this? Because if you're doing this, you are sort of asking them or giving them the opportunity to do two different things. So what are your thoughts on it? Both you guys can say.
Well, I mean, I'll say there that, no, that's fine, because I like the steps on that. We've got the bite-sized shorts, and at the end of it, I mean, we said before about the Starship Troopers, do you want to know more? I mean, like, everyone was joking with it, but actually, yeah, that's a perfectly good way of going about it. If you want to know more, here's the longer post. And sure, once you're invested like that, I mean, like, no one's really going to, everyone knows why, what you're doing and that. And as long as you're asking and not telling and not demanding, and the whole thing isn't a cheesy sales pitch, they're certainly not going to begrudge then down there, sort of seeing a little bit at the bottom, here's how you can give back. Remember we said about busking theory. I think what does get irritating, and this is like the opposite of what we're just saying about the opposite of brevity, and especially I'll see this a lot in YouTube adverts, and it's when some like entrepreneurs selling something, and typically it will be a drop shipping business, is what will come out at the end of it, because they can't say that up front because everyone knows what that is and they'll just give it away immediately. So it'll be like, here I am next to my big car I've just bought, and last week I bought the moon, and next week I'm just heading off on holiday now, and I did all this, and while I'm doing this all my money's coming through, and I'm going to tell you how to do it, but first look at my car again, and also this motorbike, and I'm going to tell you exactly how I got this, and you've got to do it, but first here's the moon I bought, and you're just thinking, just now the problem with that, I get what they're doing, they're investing you in the sales pitch. And when it's people you've got in a room, then that kind of worked. Not YouTube, because there's a big skip ad button right next to them.
it gets really annoying, yeah.
And so they're not building a crowd. The crowd's already there. All they can do is...
Here's the thing I've been experiencing with Dick. Same thing. I think a lot of that type of marketing people have become immune to. And here's why. Because... If I see a guy like that who's showing you his Ferrari and his, you know, mansion in Malibu and everything like that, I think, what a blowhard. The opposite happens when I see it, because they're doing the opposite now. There's guys that come on to look like they haven't showered in 3 days in a dirty T-shirt and telling you how to get rich online. I'm like, you look like a bum. Why would I believe you? So, like, I feel like that whole way of going about that is completely dead. And I think that this brings us to another topic. About how, because people get immune to marketing. You know, it seems like, you know, after, you know, Carrie and I have been through a bunch of different of these courses, you know, and after, you know, Leah's course has been out for a year or two, you start to see all these people doing that and people just tune it out. John Ojaka, the same way, like, you know, if you go through his course, you kind of go through that for, and all of a sudden you start to see everybody doing that system, you know, what course they took, you know, that you can see it and people kind of start to get immune to it. So I think one of the things we have to think about with email, like anything else, is the how to keep it fresh. And I don't think it's wrong to sort of like try to brainstorm ideas for how to make sure that, like, when they open my email, you know, it's not going to be like the other 100 emails are getting. You know, what can I do to make this like a cool experience, even if it is only for 30 seconds, you know, so they're not getting the same garbage that everybody's doing. So I think that that bears some, like, putting some thought into what you do? I mean, would you send out, like, for instance, I'm on a guy's email list, and he calls it Notes from the Universe. And you fill out this questionnaire on his website about, like, your hopes and dreams and goals, blah, 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 blah. And you get these emails every day with from the universe telling you, like, you know, like, giving you encouragement. And he works in, it's something that a programmer wrote, you know. And they work in your, like, goals, you know, and stuff, like, into it, you know. And they, to make it a little more personalized, I understand that it's cheesy, but some of them I read, I'm like, I needed to hear that today. Like, that made me feel good. Like, okay, I kind of, like, renewed me a little bit. So I look more of those than not. I don't look at every single one, but I do look at a lot of them. So that is a kind of unique kind of thing, but they wrote some kind of software, obviously, to create that. So, and I tried doing the automated emails where, you know, like, using these, like, blog writing programs and stuff like that. They're absolutely terrible. They're just awful. Don't do that. But so you guys got any ideas on, like, how you could make your email experience a little different? No?
Use your unique voice. You have to write as you.
And have a unique voice.
Yeah,
if you don't have a unique voice, then figure out some way to fake it. But it's a skill you're going to have to learn. But you just said it exactly. No. We always know who's been on what courses. Or we always know when somebody has just given them a template for something. Because you see that template again and again verbatim. And these are people who are putting themselves across as artists, creative people. And so you're sort of thinking at that point, if you're not being creative in your social media and your marketing, then how creative are you going to be in your music? So, yeah, have a unique voice and use that unique voice.
Well, in the notes I wrote, be careful with templates. Mm. You know, it might be something to kind of, like, if you're totally lost or you're brand new to this, it might be worth it to kind of just look at them to see kind of, you know, but you definitely have to bring across something. You know, I'm on a guy's list, and he doesn't email enough, in my opinion. He's another fellow musician. He's a singer, songwriter, guitar player, where you have the same niche and everything. but for a while, all he would do, he would send out a link to his latest song. And honestly, I really liked that. It was short, sweet. Didn't have to read a whole bunch of stuff. He wasn't asking me to jump through all kind of hoops to get this, to get that. It was just like, check out my new track. And I like his music, so I was totally fine with that. So sometimes it doesn't have to be even anything complicated. I that's the only thing I want to make sure we get across on this call, is that, like, it doesn't have to be something earth shattering. It just has to be something that speaks to that niche. And it has to be unique. It can't be like just a rehash. I mean, if you're going to refer to something that's in the news, you know, maybe, like, one of the things I always did was, because a lot of people that like what I do, like Eddie Trunk. So I would listen to Eddie Trunk's show, and I would pick things apart that he said and find out why I disagreed with him. And I have YouTube videos, and I sent out emails on why Eddie Trunk was wrong on this, why Eddie's misinformed on that. You know what I mean? I'm probably full of shit, but it got people to, like, want to know, you know. So I was bringing a unique perspective. I was like, well, he said this, but he never thought about that, and that's why XYZ is happening or whatever. So that is a way to kind of, so if you are going to play off of something that's, like, in the news or from somebody else's content, you want to do it in such a way that, you know, bring something unique to it. I mean, I guess you could just report the news in your blog. I guess you could do that, but people are on social media and everything like that, and I think they know about it. You know what I mean? Like, it, you know, I knew Ozzy had Parkinson's disease because I opened up Facebook one day and boom, it was right in front of my face. You know what I mean? Now, maybe I could write an email about something about that. You know what I mean? That might, you know, I could think about that and come up with some, you know, opinion on it or something that, you know, maybe people haven't thought of, or bring something out about it. But,
yeah,
you know, you would have to do that. You wouldn't just want to rehash that.
So
don't do a monologue if you're not David Letterman. Because,
yeah. Like, well, you got to be. Well, you have to. You should be. You got to get good at this. I mean, like, and I mean, Carlos, who's really big into email, is you know, he tells you it's just like it's a skill, like learning to write songs or anything, Carrie. Like, it, the more you do it, the better you'll get at it. The more Leah's the same way. Like she says the same. They're both right about that. Like, you have to just jump in your first round of stuff will suck. You'll suck for a few months. Till you find your voice, your footing. But you will get good at it. You absolutely will if you do it. If it's not rocket science.
One of the guys I followed on how to have a good YouTube channel was like, hey, you're going to create videos. You're going to create one a day for 3 years, and don't expect a lot of people until those 3 years are over, because you're not ready. In the beginning, you're not going to have 1,000 people or 100,000 people watching your video, because you're just not ready for 100,000 people to watch your video. So if you're afraid of not being perfect, you don't have to worry about it, because there's not that many people watching right now while you're not good anyway. You know what I mean?
It really reminds me, Carrie, you'll relate to this. This really reminds me of artists in the 70s and in the 80s too, that got development deals. You know, where the record label saw the potential, but they knew that the first three records were probably going to be, you know what I mean? And there's a huge history of that. I mean, like, Deep Purple has like 3 or 4 albums before, like, they really broke, and people are like, oh my God, this band is amazing. And that's a whole history of things. And so it's the same way in this environment, except it's not nearly as expensive for you to, you know, do a YouTube channel and suck at it for 3 years. You know, because nobody's watching anyways, and who gives a shit? And the same way with your emails. I mean, you're probably starting out with a small email list of people that names you either gathered at gigs, or, you know, maybe you were brave enough to put some kind of offer together and create a funnel like Joe was talking about. But, you know, you have to just jump in with both feet and do it, and be your, just like when you do, like, Carrie, you've said this a lot of times about music, you know, like, you have to just be like kind of yourself. It has to be authentic. And what you do in your music is the same way with what you're doing in your email. Either way, you're communicating, trying to communicate in a creative way with your audience. That's what you do with your music. That's what you should be doing with emails. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah. One of my most recent mentors was like, hey, here's my formula, but don't follow my formula.
Yeah.
I was like, what? What do you mean don't? Yeah, here's all my emails. Here's all my email sequences, but they're not there for you to copy and just use. You have to personalize them. So maybe you're going to look at like the main idea of why I wrote that email, but I don't want to see my own email out there, because they're not getting in touch with you. They're not knowing anything about you. You're not looking unique. There's no creativity. You know, your audience is going to see something I wrote, and they're not going to identify with it. So they're going to stop opening your emails. So even if you're brand new to writing emails for your audience, the one thing you want to do is, you know, you have all these influx of ideas coming in. Make sure that you're writing your own emails in your own voice, and that it sounds personal, like you're having a conversation with people. And then from there, the one thing I want to say is make sure you focus on the open. So make sure that the subject line and the first two sentences of your email, once you write your email, either go back, or if you're one of those people who come up with creative ideas in the process of just coming up with ideas for your email, make sure that that subject line and the first sentence or two of your email are captivating for your audience. Because if you can't get them to open it, it doesn't matter what's in it.
That's the hook, right, Joe? You said hook, story, offer/action.
Yeah.
And we kind of glossed over that. You ran those things down, but you have to have that hook, because this is why I think a lot of people say email is dead, because we get all these emails, right? And Carrie, you get them. Joe, you get them. I get them. You guys listening get them, that you don't even look at. It's even stuff you signed up for. So I would say that the person who's emailing you has fallen down on the hook. They are not getting you. Somehow they're not reaching you. And maybe you've changed too. Maybe that thing you were interested in for 6 months and you're no longer interested in it. You've moved on. That does happen too. But you've got to have, because we're doing this in my brick and mortar business. We started an email list, emailing once a week. We start with once a week, not every day, but start with once a week. And I'm working with my copywriter to say, you know, Renee, you have to come up with, we have to come up with subject lines that make people like, I got to open this. I got, what's he talking about here? Well, wait a minute, you know, and get people to, it's a little clickbaity, but fulfill on the hook. You know what I mean? You don't want to be like, you know, Trump opens military base on moon. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that might get people to click, but you don't have any content for that. You know what I mean? Unless you can relate that somehow to your business, or maybe that's the name of your new song, your new album, you know, or something like that. You know, so you have to be able to fulfill on that hook and keep it, because like, if you just put out dumb hooks that never like deliver, then eventually people are going to be like, okay.
Maybe you'll get National Enquirer clout.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? You just end up on, you'll just end up in spam. You know, people would just be like, or they'll unsubscribe. So, you know, and that is, that's, so I'm glad you mentioned that, Joe, because it is important if nobody's opening the freaking email, you know, and there's tons of stuff you could do with email. You could tell stories, you could make stuff kind of fictional. Just, you should just, it should just be something that makes people want to know more, to coin a phrase. What do you think the success, what do you think the key to success in emailing is? Do you guys have a, like a, like a,
repetition.
Repetition. So, so more email versus less?
Yeah. And brevity. Get to the point.
Yeah. You want to send out like an email every day if you can, but at least every couple days. And you want that email to have some of these things we're saying in it. And I have a list of a lot more. But you want repetition, because you want them to know who you are. You want them to know what you're about. You want to build that authority over time. I know people who they just posted or emailed over and over and over again, like who they wanted to be, and then people just see them as that. So
Stop. Say, clarify what you just said. They posted or emailed who they wanted to be. What do you mean by that? Explain.
Yeah. So like if I wanted to be known as the rock and roll podcaster genius. Okay. So I'm the guy that you come to if you want to get your rock and roll podcast known, period. And I give myself a funny name, like
Lou Dinny.
Okay, yeah, in some ways you could use that. So you wanna be called Lou Dinny now instead of Lou. Everywhere you go. So you just email and write all your information on that and then sign with that all the time. And over time, no matter what, how do I put this? You want to be transparent and you want to be trustworthy, obviously. But the more you repeat who you are and what you do, the more people are going to believe that. Okay. So with repetition, people start like, hey, you're the guy that blah, 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 blah. Like I was at one event and one guy pointed at me and said, hey, you're the funnel guy. And from then on, he called me the funnel guy. And eventually I started introducing myself as the funnel guy. And so then everybody at the event was like, hey, if you want to talk about funnels, go see that guy over there. And all of a sudden I was the funnel guy, but I didn't know any of these people. Like I hadn't met them at all. They didn't know if I was worth my salt in any way. I was just automatically the funnel guy because it kept on getting repeated. And the more people that said it, the more they believed it. You know what I mean? So you've got to repeat yourself. Remember that they're not going to open every email. They're not going to see every post. They're not going to watch every video. Okay. Also. So if you repeat yourself, you may be saying, hey, I said this before. I said this in a video, I said it here and I said it there and blah, 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 blah. I can't say the same thing. The reality is you're hearing every time you say it or think it, they're not. Because they are not going to open every email.
Right. I mean, even to get great open rates, nobody opens every single one. What about, I want to ask one more question, and you guys can comment on this. What about emails that start conversation in the sense that you actually ask a question? Should Ozzy tour? And maybe I lay out a few sentences, and then end it with, "What do you think?"
Well, this is a rhetorical question. Is a classical. I mean, that isn't a rhetorical question because you're about to answer it. But no, a rhetorical question of like presenting something that you're going to think about or discuss in some way is, well, that's just copywriting 101. That's one of the first things you do about using that to bring people in. It's exactly the same with ending with a call to action. It's just one of the things you do.
But
what you have to do then is make sure that it's a question that hasn't already been asked 50 times that week. Because if somebody's already had that conversation, I mean, I've had that as well. I've had things like that come through. And or when someone's done it on a Twitter thread or a Facebook thread, and they might ask some question about what's the album that influenced you most of its artwork? Great, this is interesting. I'll join in this conversation. When I've done, right, that was fun. Now, what else is out here? What album has most influenced you of its artwork? And at that point, then I feel like a mug for doing it the first time. So I realize it's come from somebody's course. But also by that point, it's sort of like, I've already had this conversation. It's delete now. But because of that person's made me hit delete, I'm probably going to remember that I hit delete next time I see their name attached to something. So if you do get it wrong or do get unimaginative, do something like that, bear in mind it's not consequence free. Because then you have planted something psychological there where that person, if they're onto you and they've done that, they're gonna remember that they deleted some of your emails
because I'm not sure what you're saying about it because to me, anytime I've ever done that, those are the emails that get the most open rates. For me, and those are the emails that get people emailing me back, like with long emails about what they thought about this subject, and I'm not just postulating something that like everybody's talking about per se, or I'll ask it in a kind of a unique way, and it's not every email that I send out is a question, but if I see something like that come up. You know, if from somebody that I'm subscribed to, I just may not. Okay, this is an email I'm not real interested in. That topic doesn't interest me. But I might hope that doesn't mean I won't look at the next one. I mean, if I'm real, like I told you about the guy who sends me the notes from the universe, you know. So, I look at some, I don't look at all of them, but I don't really see as harmful.
Yeah. So maybe not. Maybe I was a bit harsh with it, maybe. I think my main point really. I mean,
it's your birthday. You're supposed to be happy. No, what's wrong?
Really, it just takes it back to being imaginative. And what Joe said about, this is how I do it, but don't follow my formula. If it's just a verbatim question that every single person's posting, then you're going to look like a right idiot when everyone else posts the same question.
Right. You're just parroting whatever is going on. Which goes back to having that unique perspective and unique voice in how you do it. I might ask, do you think that the years of, drug abuse and alcohol abuse are what contributed to Ozzy's, Parkinson's, So I might ask, like, when guys like, this is a question we've thrown out of the podcast, when Ozzy, Keith Richards, and a handful of these, like, rock and roll, like, icon, Robert Plant, when they croak, is rock dead? So that's putting a kind of spin on it. Go ahead, Joe.
So on a subject line, you want 40 characters or 5 to 7 words. You don't want to be spammy. You do want to ask a question. You want to communicate a clear benefit, use urgency and curiosity, and use emojis. So with what was just said, okay, if I've got an influx of emails coming in and everybody's asking the same question, and I'm looking at that and I'm going, okay, I have 5 to 7 words to get someone's attention. Everybody's sending out this question, but this question really identifies with my brand. I want to use it. How do I be unique? Because if I'm unique and I'm the person that they want to listen to, then I can express the same question just with a different angle. And people might be curious, well, you know, Billy just said this about that thing, but now Joe's saying it, and Joe's always got a unique spin. Therefore, it's interesting the way he asked the question a little bit differently. I want to see what his perspective is on it, and then they may open it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's no 100% open rates. You know, we're just trying to get it, like, how we could get as much, we could leverage this as well as possible. We have this platform. Yeah. You're using ActiveCampaign or MailChimp or something like that. How do we get the most out of this? So how can we be creative and get the most out of it?
Yeah, so questions are a good thing because you're getting their interaction. They want to think, okay, I'm going to get to not only intellectually think about this, I'm going to get to be a part of it, but I'm also maybe going to get heard. And so, like, whenever a question is presented, people want to participate. But just remember, if you're watching all your competitors and all the people that are similar to you who may be in your dream 100s, so they're people who are in the same niche as you, then you don't want to, like, take someone else's email, the same exact question, the same exact two first lines, the same exact everything, and publish it. You want your own voice, and eventually you'll get good at writing that and getting that to be like you doing it. Like, everybody's afraid to write, and I have been afraid to write for years, but you don't get good at it until you do it over and over and over again. And I heard from someone, you know, the best personal development course is becoming an entrepreneur, because as you're putting your own voice, putting your own person, your own character out there and presenting yourself in front of people, eventually you're refining that over and over and over again. And you're growing because of the fact that you've got to think about who you're presenting to the world.
I don't know what else to add other than
I have one other thing
ahead,
to say
too. Sorry, I lost my train of thought, but go ahead.
So another thing that someone who's a copywriter who I've been following said, and I really, really identified with, is you don't have to be the best copywriter in the world. So when you're writing your emails, you don't have to be perfect. If you're in a niche where, you know, you're competing with other copywriters and there's a lot of, like, ninja copywriters, and you walk out and you're fighting with other ninjas, then you're probably going to get your ass kicked. Am I allowed to swear on here? Anyway, so you're probably going to get your butt kicked. You know what I mean? But if you are in a niche and you have all that incoming influx of ideas, and they're not like these guru ninjas, they're, you know, just people trying to write copy and they're not perfect in any way, then, and you slowly over time develop your skills and get better and better and better and better, you set yourself up with a niche that you can compete in and therefore get noticed, get better, and win.
I was just going to add one more thing about, I remember what I was going to say. That's absolutely, it's practice. I was just going to add one more thing in terms of topics and what to say. You know, we're each involved in our own niches. Mm-hmm. And you're probably thinking about that niche, if not all day long, throughout the day. And you're forming opinions about stuff in that niche, things that are happening in that niche, other people in that niche, et cetera. So there is your email for that day. You have it. You just got to write that down in a few sentences, you know. And we have not talked about the mechanics of this, and we're running out of time, so we're not going to get into it. We'll do another podcast on the mechanics of doing this. For now, we'll just say, you know, look at ActiveCampaign, AWeber, MailChimp, you know, whatever. There's a million of them out there, whatever you like. But in terms of creating that voice, you are already thinking about stuff in your niche. And there's a lot, like with my niche, there's so many different things that come through my mind every day. So maybe you keep a little notebook, or you do it in Evernote, or you say it into your phone or whatever. And then you write a few sentences about it and send it out. get the thing I would tell everybody, and I'm bad with this too, I'm preaching to myself as well, is get over analysis paralysis. Stop thinking. Just send out some freaking emails that about stuff that you're thinking about that's related to your niche. You're in your niche. If you're having a really hard time coming up with topics for your niche, I'm going to wonder if maybe that is not your niche. Like, maybe you should be in some other niche, because what do you love? What are you passionate about? What are you thinking about? What occupies your attention throughout the day? What do you get into? What, you know, what are you, you know, that is really, so if you're, you know, if your business niche is real estate, but you hate real estate and you're always thinking about politics, well, maybe you should switch. Maybe you should consider doing something with, you know, political discussion or something like that. I'm not telling people what to do. It's just that, you know, think about that. If you truly, I know what I'm passionate about. It hasn't changed since I was 14 years old. Kerry knows what he's passionate about. Joe knows what he's passionate about. And your passions will change, you know. I mean, maybe that list breaks off into two or three lists, you know. You know, Joe and I have been talking about how we're probably going to be divvying the thing up between people who are rock fans and who are, like, there to hear my music and be entertained, and those guys that actually play and want to know about gear and want to know maybe, you know, how to play better or sing better or whatever, write songs, whatever. So, and then we're thinking, and then the three of us have talked about how this third thing right here that we're doing is probably going to become a business as well. So now we've got three lists. You know, that's a lot to take on all at once. Don't worry about that. But I'm just saying that to say that, like, if you have other interests that are going to be related, don't worry about that. You know, you can build those a little bit later. But what are you passionate about? What are you thinking about? What's going through your mind throughout the day about it? I mean, you know, like, I'm watching, you know, videos on YouTube and stuff like that. I'm arguing in my head with stuff that's being said. Well, there's my email for today. You know, I was watching Rob Chapman's video about, you know, about the guitar work in Iron Maiden's Flight of Icarus, and he's full of crap, and here's why. You know, it could be anything that you're thinking about, because you're involved in a niche. So it isn't all that hard. It's just mastering the copy and stuff like that. You don't get that without doing it all the time. I was an English major in college, and it was our college was writing intensive, and they were, because they knew the value of that. You know, the more you write, even if it sucks in the beginning, the better. Yeah, I wrote journals for every freaking class. So do it, practice it, you get better. Just like you sucked when you started playing guitar. Gary, you sucked when you started singing and playing piano. Joe, you sucked at making funnels when you started, until you learned, you practiced it, you got good at it. So anything else, guys, before we wrap up for today?
I think we're good.
We're good. All right. Go around, guys, and plug your stuff.
KJKmusic.co.uk. I think it comes from there.
Okay. And Joe?
OrangeTreeMarketing.com.
Okay, cool. All right, guys. That's it for today. If you want to know, do you want to know more? You want to hear more great podcasts? You want to go to LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. There's a lot of podcasts on a wide variety of music-related topics. And also in the show notes, if you guys are following us on, like, on Podbean or Player FM and stuff like that, you find the show notes. I actually found a way to put the link to the Mastermind group in there. So click the link and you can request entrance. If not, email me at lou@loulombardimusic.com. Guys, have a great week. Start getting into those emails, and we'll talk to you on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.